How many times did you keep pushing and pushing yourself until your body said, no more? Do you have a hard time listening to your body and what it's trying to tell you? Our guest today faced two cancers before she really started to listen to her body and see what was happening inside. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today, coming up in the podcast, our guest, Jolynn Philbrook, an abundant mindset expert. And boy, are you going to hear why she's called an abundant mind expert when you find out what she's been through. She gets vulnerable when she shares how she used her mindset strategies to overcome not one, but two cancer diagnoses. We're going to talk with Jolynn Philbrook in a moment. And first, in today's podcast, you'll hear our guest talk about her cancers and dis-ease. Her body was screaming at her to pay attention. Unfortunately, many of us only stop when we're forced to. Like when you get that cold and you'll have to lay in bed. Well, you kind of get that picture, but this is a lot more. As I share these freedom fulfillment lessons, keep in mind that they can help you no matter where you are on your journey of life. When you have mastered these, you will have the freedom to be 100% you, so that you not only can be fully expressed, but also aware and know how to manage yourself. For this mini masterclass, I'm not going to address a pillar in particular, a freedom fulfillment pillar in particular, because truly it's the entire program of all the 11 freedom fulfillment pillars that comes into play. It's once you've reached that 100% being able to be you, or at least knowing how to be 100% you. And this is a journey. So let me ask you or share this with you. When you give up a part of you, you cover up your authentic self. And this is what happens when you get into toxic relationships. But, you know, the authentic self really doesn't like that. You know the phrase, only the truth will set you free? Well, really, it's the truth of you that will set you free. What I have observed personally and after speaking to women from all over the world who've experienced domestic abuse, that there is a direct correlation with not just mental illness, but physical illnesses. I've spoken to women who never made that correlation until they heard me speak. And that's my purpose today, to bring awareness to you, because change only first occurs with awareness. And it doesn't matter whether you are in or out of a toxic relationship. It doesn't matter whether you've experienced a serious illness but no longer have it. What matters is that you realize the correlation so that you don't make other excuses or diminish the emotional turmoil that contributed to your illness or illnesses. And most importantly, so that you can manage yourself in the future. I ask that you be open to what you're going to hear and challenge yourself. I'm not a medical doctor or medical health practitioner, and I'm not giving advice. Always consult your medical team for medical advice. There are no guarantees in life. I'm not saying that if you have experienced a physical illness, that it was due to a toxic relationship. The complexities of our human body are vast and beyond this scope. I do want to share some stories with you, though. And as I get vulnerable and share my own personal stories that I've never shared in detail like this before, I want you to ask yourself, what health ailments have you had or still have? Are you working on your mind to heal? How is your stress level? Now, let me share you my story. For the time my daughter was little, maybe 3 or 4 years old, we'd play on the floor, rolling, being silly and playfully wrestling. And I noticed, you know, that if she just kind of hit my arm, not on purpose, but in a certain place, that it would kind of hurt. And this happened all over, you know, all the time. And we'd laugh at how, quote unquote, weak mama was, you know, like my little 3-year-old was beating me up. But, you know, as time went on, you know, as she got older and we were still playing and wrestling, you know, the pain kind of showed up more. And then I started to have a hard time standing straight. My former husband would keep telling me to stop slouching and stand up straight. Not that he wasn't telling me enough things. Now I had that on top of it, but I just couldn't. I physically couldn't get my body to be erect. And one time when I visited the United States during our vacation, I spoke to a friend, an old college roommate of mine who specialized in physical therapy. And she said, gosh, Rosie, you never had problems with your posture. We just couldn't figure out what was going on. Years went by. My posture was a constant challenge. And one time, a few days after I was working out at the gym, my hips started to hurt. I thought, oh, I must have sprained a muscle or something since I've been really increasing the speed to challenge myself. So I underwent all these exams and x-rays and tests, and cortisone was injected into my thigh more than once, and nothing worked. The doctors were baffled. I felt my body curve and get smaller since I couldn't stand up straight. I just thought that was what I had to live with, at least for a while. In the meantime, I was bleeding when I wasn't supposed to. I tried to stop for a year with medication, but it didn't help. I was drying and curling up inside and out. I eventually had a full hysterectomy, which was performed in Lebanon, where I'd been living. Anyway, later, the pain points in my body became amplified. I could barely get out of a car or walk upstairs in my house. I mean, here I was running and swimming, and then now I was like this crippled old woman. I remember one time seeing my 90-year-old aunt move, and I thought, oh my God, that's how I used to move. And one day I just said to myself, I'm not going to live my life that way. 15 years of suffering. And I was finally diagnosed with fibromyalgia, chronic pain. And this is a very common diagnosis for women who have been abused. I was put on a medication, and within a few short months, I was able to walk like my normal self again. I mean, I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, this was amazing. What joy. I was so happy because I was really scared. It's like, oh my God, here I am. Whatever the age I was, I'm in my 40s, I think, early 50s, and I just couldn't move. And then now I could. So after I arrived in the United States after my escape, when I started getting health insurance and had to fill out everything, they told me that fibromyalgia is not curable and would stay on my health record. Let me tell you, I got off the prescribed medications, cured myself of fibromyalgia, and got it taken off my health record. From my research and experience, I am convinced that both my hysterectomy and my fibromyalgia was due to the brain misfiring from the decades of abuse. My body was breaking down from the stress and the stress hormones that were generated and coursing through my body. I mean, just think, I had a hysterectomy. What is the relationship there? The fibromyalgia that made me feel smaller and get smaller and smaller. So the abuse is not only an emotional and mental health challenge to overcome. It's not just eating your emotions and maybe gaining weight. Just like they often describe abusive, narcissistic, and controlling relationships as toxic relationships, that toxicity permeates your mind, body, and soul, creating serious health issues that can even become deadly. Most traditional medical doctors will not offer you this point of view. I just suggest you entertain this concept. See what the root cause might be. Heal yourself from the emotional pain. Regain your authentic self. Recognize and own your true worth and value. It may just save your life. If you want to know where you are on this, take my complimentary quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you need to do. If you are serious about evolving into a new, empowered you, someone who can show up as the confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to www.freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. That's freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. Today, we're going to meet JoLynn Philbrook, an abundant mindset coach whose body forced her to stop and listen. You'll want to listen to the end to hear her magic formula so that you can get healthy, stay healthy, and become the empowered 100% you. JoLynn Philbrook is known as the abundant mindset expert who intuitively clears prosperity blocks. Her specialty is releasing stuck emotions to attract more success, prosperity, and happiness in your life. JoLynn survived a rare type of breast cancer as she went through a custody suit with no income. Then, a year later, survived kidney cancer. Now she shares her wisdom and experience through these challenging times so that you can find your inner strength, prosperity, and happiness to live your greatest life. JoLynn Philbrook will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to JoLynn Philbrook, whose 2 cancers taught her a lesson and opened her path to deeper spirituality. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with JoLynn Philbrook. Welcome, JoLynn. I'm so thrilled to have you. It's been so long.
I know. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Are we all about creating our greatest life, JoLynn?
Yes, definitely. Happiness, joy, and fun. That's my motto.
After going through all of that, that you are here and you're living a joyful life. So why don't you just share a little bit more how you know, what you're doing today?
What I do today is I work with entrepreneurs, and typically they're coming to me, their life isn't working, they're unhappy, they might be stuck on some situation in their life, and I help clear the energy within their body and work on their beliefs and emotions so they can transform their life and live this happy, joyful life that they're really desiring.
Oh, that's fabulous. So, you know, you created that path, you know how to do it, and now you're helping others doing it. Oh, we're so happy for you, but it didn't always start that way, did it?
No.
You know, on this podcast, we talk about some deep topics, where it all started from and how we transformed. And you've had some experience with some narcissistic abusive relationships.
I would say so. Yeah. And they have not been the happiest fun times that I have right now in my life.
Can you share just a little bit about, you know, that, you know, those little periods of your life?
The one that I knew was narcissistic was the person that I married. Mm-hmm. And I did not know it at the time. It wasn't till after I was divorced and through this whole health issue I went through. But I had signals that I didn't really understand at the time. It's like he'd be really super sarcastic and put me down and belittle me so he would feel better. And he had this king attitude, like, I'm the king, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, we traveled and did arts and crafts shows, and we sold jewelry.
Mm.
And I did not realize it, but he had really low self-esteem. And I would go up and start talking to somebody because I'm just a natural, easygoing person. And then he would get jealous that I'm talking to somebody, and he'd come in and like take over the whole conversation and he had to be the center of attention. If he wasn't the center of attention, boy, yeah, that's a whole nother story. But anyhow, when it got really bad was after our divorce. It was about 3 years after our divorce. My son comes home and says he doesn't feel safe at his dad's house because he saw him snorting a white powder and taking alcohol in the car. And so I went to the Boy Scout leader, who happened to be captain of police, and told him the situation. And he goes, well, you know, go for full custody, go to court and file for full custody. So that's what I did. I took his advice. Well, now my ex's real true colors came out. He was what I call a rageaholic. I had a window of 10 minutes before he'd be like this volcano blowing up. The threats were so bad. I was afraid to leave my house to go to the grocery store. I'd have my friends buy my groceries and bring them back home.
And this is after your divorce?
This is after my divorce. I was being targeted and verbally attacked and threatened. And one time he came after my son, and I like stood between him and my son, and I'd rather take the hit than have him hit my son.
Of course.
And it was like this madman was loose. And, you know, I'd have to call 911 for protection because he was just out of control. And so that, you know, after I was going through all that, and I was going through breast cancer at the time and chemo, and I was just in this spiral down. And I'm like, I can't keep going on. How can I get through this? What can I do to change this? And that's when I really started turning towards spirituality, and I would go into meditation, and I would sit for hours outside and just be one with nature. And what I learned from that is the more I put the fear into it, the more the fear would come back. So I had to learn to get out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody goes, well, shift it. I'm like, I don't know how. Yeah. And
it's always easy for somebody on the outside to say, yeah, shift it, right?
Yeah. Get out of fear.
The trauma and everything, it's not as easy as just a simple statement.
Exactly. And the type of fear I would go into is freeze.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it's fight, flight, or freeze. And I would freeze. Mm-hmm. I couldn't think. And then finally, what I did was I realized, what's really going to happen? How can I defend myself? And it's about me standing up for myself, having boundaries, and going, you know what? I'm not putting up with this anymore. So what I would do is I would have mental conversations with him at night, because my belief system is we're really all one spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
So my spirit can talk to his spirit. And I had to work on forgiveness. I can't work on forgiveness on this plane. You know, I'm really, really angry. I was so angry at how I was being treated. It was kind of like I felt like, you know, you take the trash out and you throw it out, like it has no value, no worth. I mean,
how you felt. You just worth nothing. You're just like, you were just another piece of trash. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a piece
Small
of trash.
And little and.
Yeah. Throw me out with the, yeah. And, it was so amazing that I had to shift all that and change it and come into my power, you could say. So that's where the spirituality really worked, because I realized, wow, I'm actually stronger than I think I am. I have the power to change this. How can I change it? What can I do? And so I learned this technique to release all the anger, the resentment and stuff. Oh, and then when I was in the middle of breast cancer, when I figured out what caused the breast cancer for me,
yeah, right.
I wanted to do a survey, or I did an impersonal survey with all the women that had breast cancer to find out if something happened a year and a half or 2 years before they got breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And they all got a divorce except one, the brother died. And so that to me was proof that the anger I felt and shoved down turned into resentment, had nowhere to go because it's lodged in the body.
That's right.
Turned around, ate away, and came up with this dis-ease called cancer.
Yes, this is, we were chatting before we started the podcast today. And you know, I've done the same thing. I've talked to women who've been in narcissistic, controlling, abusive relationships. And by far, they've had major health issues, and not all of them always put it two and two together that this illness that they had was tied to the oppression, the anger that you couldn't express because we lost our voice. We weren't able to express ourselves. And so it's just kind of like a boilermaker inside your body as the stress is not being able to be released. And the body's saying, you didn't listen to me. So I'm going to make you listen to me now. And you know, it's like popcorn popping out, but it's not really so funny when you have these illnesses.
Yeah.
That are serious, that could be deadly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So this is why I'm just so passionate about raising this awareness about abuse and that it's what it does. It's so much bigger than, you quote unquote been abused. No, your mental health is hurt. Your physical health, everything is impacted. And then it hits down the generations.
Yes. Yeah. And I watched my son, because he had to stay at his house. I mean, a couple times my son would run away to try to come home, but the way the court sees it, whoever has the custody at that moment, that's where the child has to go to. And it doesn't matter how bad the parent is acting. So my son finally, one day had it. And he's trying to go to bed and the dad's following him around, screaming at him and being just this rageaholic. So my son walks upstairs, goes out on the deck. The dad follows him and he runs back in, shuts the door and locks it and leaves his dad out on the deck in the middle of winter to all night. And then probably at 6 in the morning, lets him back in and says, "Are you going to behave and are you going to leave me alone?"
Wow.
That was the point where my son would say to him, "Do you want to go on the deck again?" And my ex would go, "No." And my son would say, "Then knock it off." And so my son finally learned how to get control over him, but had to get to that extreme.
How old was he at the time?
He was probably a freshman in high school.
So still, I mean, that was very empowering. He knew what was wrong. Well, good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he shouldn't have had to be able to do that. He's still a child, right?
I know.
Right? So
yeah.
Good for him. So you shared how you went through a lot of meditation and just going deep into it with nature to start to make this transition to get to really know you. What other things, and of course then you had these cancers. So what other like self-care rituals did you start to do and maybe still do to this day?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Let me reach over and grab this. Now, I don't know if this podcast is visual or is it going to be audio, but I take a figure out of a magazine and probably a 4x4 card or 6x6. I take an 8.5, 11 piece of paper and cut it into four sections.
Okay.
And then I take something out of a magazine and I make a little tiny statement of what I want. So this one is, I am strong, I'm courageous. And I have a lion or tiger, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a tiger because it has stripes. And then there's a woman with her
hands on her
hips, power pose, and it says strong. So I use things like this all the time. On my desk, I have create the feeling
of having
create the feeling of having it with a rock that I painted when I was going through cancer. So part of my recovery was to paint little affirmation cards for myself. And then I'll paint a rock that says believe. And I still use these today. And then recently there's something that was...
That's fabulous.
Yeah. So recently there's something going on in my life and I just wrote on a piece of paper, right now, I'm okay.
Right
you now. Are stronger than you know.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what I'm going through, I still pull on these positive statements. And if you go into my kitchen, people used to come into my kitchen. I'm not kidding. This is a hoot. Okay, I was extremely depressed, but they told me it was grief from all the stuff I lost and things. So I found, and I was tired of being depressed. So I found a picture of a beautiful woman smiling, and she had dark hair and pearls and a pink blouse. Put her in a picture frame, stuck her in the middle of my kitchen on the counter. And every time I walked in, I'd see that woman smiling. I go, that's the new me. I am happy.
Aww.
And so one of my girlfriends would come over and visit, and she goes, oh, is this your family member in the kitchen? I go, no, that's the new me. I am happy. I'm like, how come they come over to visit me? And the first thing they do is hit my kitchen and read all these little affirmations, and they'll open up the inside of the cupboard because there's more.
I love that.
Yeah. So,
you know, I think this is such a great strategy, and I love that you shared it, because we need to remember to make that shift of what we were told. We were stupid, we were bad, we were, you know, all the degradation that we endured, and that became a new belief, and realize that's not really who we are, and to have these other thoughts, because you have to practice new thoughts.
Exactly.
Right? You have to keep practicing them, and people think, well, that seems a little corny, but that is one of the major keys to shifting, is having new thoughts about yourself. And I mean, a thought that I had for a long time, you know, was I was a bad mother, because he told me, oh, I know you love your daughter, but you're just, you know, you're a bad mother. You don't pay attention to her. You're not consistent. You're not, it's like all this stuff. Of course, I believed that for a long, long time. And it took really years and years. And I even had some therapy on EMDR just to get over that thought that's so deep in your psyche. And these help. You know, and I do the same thing, not like you do, but I think I'm going to pick up some of those, and I'm going to put them inside the cupboards and cabinets and things like that. I think it's a great reminder. I love it.
Then the other thing I do is change my emotional state, because a lot of times, well, I'm an empath, so I will pick up on the energy of other people. And then I had to learn, is this mine or is this somebody else's?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that the natural feeling I'll pick up is sadness. And I'll go, is this mine or not? So then I realize, oh, it's not mine. How do I get back into my power? So what I do is I think of Wonder Woman. I use her as a symbol in my head. And as a matter of fact, I have her on my desk.
How cute. She has a little mini Wonder Woman. I love that.
A little mini Wonder Woman. And so I'm like, okay, I am Wonder Woman. I put my hands on my hip. I step forward with my right foot and I step into my power.
Mm.
And then I move forward in my power. And it also, so you can shift it through affirmations or intentions, you know, the visual reminders, but you can also do it with your body. If you have to face somebody you don't want, or, you know, go into a challenging situation, you go in with your power, your strength. And that really helps, especially if you have to go to court, you know, step into your power as you go into that courtroom. Oh, I forgot. What I used to do before I went in the courtroom is I sat there in the car. I imagined the courtroom. And I filled it with a beautiful pink light of love. And I asked that the whole transition would unfold in love, kindness, and ease. And then I would just visualize having a conversation with the judge, and it just flowed. And then I'd go in there, and and I'd sit down, and I'd be calm, and I'd be in my power. Mm-hmm. And the judge, after a while, he just starts looking at me different, because every time I came in with love. And they knew. And the one judge was psychic, because he would have mental conversations with me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is yeah. that legal?
Well, he would say, tell me more. And I would go quiet, and I would visualize what happened, how my ex would attack me. The judge watched my mind, and he would verbalize exactly what he saw. And I'd shake my head, yes. And he goes, okay.
Wow.
Because he saw me remember what happened.
Wow.
And then he would tell me what he saw.
I've never heard that. That's a pretty amazing story.
Yeah.
I want psychic judges.
I got a psychic judge. You believe it?
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay. Okay, ladies, if you're still listening, you still need to go to court. Ask for a psychic judge.
Yeah, really?
That's hilarious. But it helped your case.
Oh, it did. And I think the fact that I sent love ahead of me mm-hmm. really helped.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a beautiful, you're great at visualizing. This is, yeah. I can see this is one of your superpowers, being able to visualize and put yourself in that position, which is such a great strategy, a really, really good strategy. I want to ask you about, your values, have shifted, over time, or how you felt, what was important to you, and maybe at one point early, maybe in your marriage, or what you thought was important.
For a while, I've been sharing with you and giving mini masterclasses on the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. Now you can get the guidebook to all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars right now. Simply go to Vulnerable to Valuable and hit the subscribe button. These are the same pillars I followed to create my business, become an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, and author, find the love of my life, and use it to create a fulfilled life. They are the same that I use with my clients, and now they are yours free. Go to www.vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe. And we're back with JoLynn Philbrook, Abundant Mindset Coach.
How those values have now shifted to how you live your life today.
Yeah. Let's just say I was living in fear and not good enough. Not worthy or deserving. So I had to work a lot in getting to know who I was. So for instance, I thought I loved lasagna, and I would make lasagna all the time. And one day I made it and I go, I don't like lasagna. So what do I like? Right? So I had to learn what foods I like, what colors I like. I had to learn how to be okay making a decision. Like, how do I make a decision? It was really hard, you could say, because I was molded to act a certain way and be a certain way and be in fear. And so after my divorce, it was like, well, who am I? How do I want to show up? And yeah, who am I is the question I kept asking. And I was uncovering that. So today, it's like if something's not working in my life, I go, oh, what am I focused on? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? And then I will shift it, and I'll go back into my values of I am good enough. I'm smart enough. I can do this. And I have, we already went through this. And believe is a very strong word that I always have used. I believe I can get through this. Mm-hmm. And then one of my top values now is fun. How can I have fun doing this?
How can I have fun doing this? Beautiful. And yeah. What a way to lift the joy and have fun and be that lady, it's in your kitchen smiling at you and being happy, because that's one of your values now, of looking at how can I have fun? That's going to create happiness and joy in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to be looking for it and finding ways of it, and it's going to come to you.
Yes. And then if I go into freeze mode, mm-hmm. if something happens and I go into freeze, I'm like, okay, what just happened?
My body. Self-reflection.
My body made a reaction. Something was said I didn't like. What is my comeback? So I came up with some comebacks like, you don't have the right to talk to me that way. Don't talk to me that way. Or, you know, I'm just kind of, that's not allowed. And I don't put up with it now, mm-hmm. which, yeah.
Yeah. Getting the whole voice back and really, this has been such a common pattern. You know, women just lose who they are, right? You didn't know what color or what you liked. Because they do mold us. Because they put down what we like and what we want to do. So we believe it's wrong. Everything we do is wrong. Or we have to put on the defensive so much that, well, maybe they are right. So what I want is not important. I have the wrong thing. We're always in a state of wrong. So you just lose yourself.
Yeah. And you know, when you're talking a story, it came up a memory. I wanted to take an art class and do watercolor. Mm-hmm. And my husband at the time goes, why do you want to do that? You're not any good.
Right.
I mean, it's like, wow. So that's after the divorce and in the middle of cancer, I'm like, I want to learn how to paint. I went to the store, I bought a canvas, I bought paints, and I taught myself. And I'm going, it's good enough.
And you're enjoying it and having fun. Wasn't that their primary value? Right.
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing. But see, they challenge you and they belittle you. So you feel intimidated to want to do it. Or if they see you doing it, it's like, then they'll even poke you even harder. And then you just give it up because it's just so exhausting to keep arguing with them about why you want to do something that you want to do.
Right.
Right. I had the same experience. I was studying when I was in Lebanon, because your story brought up another thought for me. I was in Lebanon. I had studied French as an undergrad, but it had been quite a few years, and I was thinking about teaching French again, and I was studying with the French, even though it was in Lebanon, but it was with the program with the French government. So it was an official program. And I was at the top of my class and everything. And then it came to the government test. He would not let me take the test. I was so humiliated. And he says, well, you have to stay home because the test happened to be two nights in a row in the evening. He says, well, you have to stay home and be and take care of your daughter. She was 10 at the time. She was 10. He could. And so when I missed the test and I came back to class, everybody was like, well, where were you? And I can't remember what lie I made up, but I was so embarrassed. I couldn't say, oh, my husband wouldn't let me do it. But I was devastated.
Wow.
Yeah, so I get that.
Yeah.
I really understand what we go through too. And so, but look at you now. Look at me now. Well, we've changed our lives and you have a joyful, happy life. And I love all your little notes and everything else. So how can our listener find out more about you and probably want to get some of those great ideas directly?
Yes. So I actually wrote a book on how I got through the cancer, the custody suit, and how I transformed my life. Mm. It's called From Tears to Triumph. Because I made it. Yeah.
Yes.
And you can find it at www.JoelynPhilbrook.com/free book.
Beautiful.
And then people can find out information at my website, Joelynn Philbrook. I have all kinds. Oh, I have a free MP3 that they can download too about money, wealth, and abundance.
Oh, that's so generous of you. And these links will be in the show notes. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing all your wonderful stories and your wonderful strategies and tips that helped you transform into having a wonderful life and being showing up now very valuable.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
That's it for today's episode.
head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook, Ask Confidently for What You Want. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.